All right, welcome back to the second half of Living the Good Life. Pastor Marcia here with Angel and Betty. Talk to us about Mexico. Angel, and then Betty, I want you to add on to what she has to say.
Well, the ministry in Mexico, we have been privileged to partner up. Not only do have we worked and have a radio station there that is sending the gospel throughout many countries in central Mexico and outside of Mexico through Central America. But we also have a street ministry there with hands on the ground, feeding the children and feeding the...
Hands on the ground. I like that. Yeah. Boots on the ground.
Boots on the ground.
Hands on the ground.
Hands, boots, all of it. And hearts on the ground.
Hearts on the ground.
Children and feeding elderly individuals who don't have meals and don't have food. And every day getting out there and bringing those meals and the love of Christ to them on the streets.
Why is that important?
That's what we're called to be, the hands of Christ, and to take care of the least of these. And that's exactly what we are doing.
And if you say, I don't know why we should have to be part of that, go to Matthew chapter 25 and see what Jesus said about feeding the hungry. It's extremely important. Extremely important. Betty, your comment on the ministry in Mexico, which is such a joy to be a part of. Enrique Centeno, our good brother, was here last summer. And everybody in the ministry got to know him, and he's the pastor of the church in Puebla, and he's also the director of the radio station, and he also helps to head up the street ministry. Go ahead, Betty.
Well, one of the things that is so important is to, along with feeding, and help me with the Spanish, hermanitos.
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 The brothers. H is silent, yes. Hermanitos, go ahead.
Hermanitos. It's just such a wonderful ministry, and I do suggest that you you go to our to bohmglobal.com and click on there, and you will find the scripture that says, "For I was hungry, and you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty, and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger, and you invited me in. I needed clothes, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you looked after me. I was in prison, and you came to visit me." And, you know, those things are so important today, because the little kids, their eyes, I mean, when I saw pictures of what you had taken when you were there, their eyes are just gleaming
amazing,
with thank you and joy from being able to have something to drink and something to eat in their little tummies. We're able to supply blankets to them that keep them warm at night, because in the mountains it does get a little cooler.
It does.
And it's just amazing of what, you know, what Enrique and Luis is doing.
Yes.
Carmelita, all of the people that are down there that are the hands and the feet of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Doing the work of the Lord. And it's just, it's amazing. And I do encourage you to go to the website and click on our missions page, because it just shows exactly where your money goes and what is being done down there to help those precious people.
And Mexico is very hard hit by COVID, and the Puebla area, which is about 2 to 2.5 million people, there's people dying in the streets. It's that bad. Businesses are closed. The fresh market is open, but it's really very, very bad. And, so we figured out yesterday, because we send money every month to buy food for the little kids. Luis and his mom, his dad, and some others go and find the street homeless street kids in the mornings. At night, they're going and finding the homeless adults that have no place to sleep except on the concrete, on the sidewalks. We're providing blankets. We're providing a meal a day for the street kids we find, a meal in the evening for the old folks, the viejitos. And we figured out yesterday, Betty, I don't know if you know this, we figured out that the meals, really, because of the rate of exchange, are only costing about 30 cents for a meal. And that's for a serving. And we have been doing about 700 to 800 servings, and we need to up it to about 1,000 right now, because the need is so great. So I guarantee you, if you go to our giving page on BOHM Global and you say, put this in the missions account, feeding kids, that's where it's going to go. Pastor Jim and I do not take salaries. No staff member does. And the money, all the money that comes into Beacon of Hope does go directly for the work here and in Mexico on these radio shows, etc. So it's good soil, it's good ground. Angel, a final comment there. Do you want to make on any of that?
Well, it's just, I find it's just such a blessing to be able to be a part of planting seeds in the lives of people. I will never meet the side of heaven. And I am looking forward to when we can cross those borders and go over there with the missions team.
Hopefully next year. We were planning on it this fall. We cannot go because of COVID, but hopefully in a year or so we'll be able to. We're glad you're joining us today on Living the Good Life. Oh, who you say I am. Who does God say you are? One of our favorite songs.
Who am I that the highest King would welcome me? I was lost, but he brought me in. Oh, his love for me. Oh, his love for me. Who the sun sets free, who is free indeed. I'm a child. A slave to sin, Jesus died for me. Yes, he died for me. Who the sun sets free, who is free indeed. I'm a child of God. Yes, I am. In my
Amen. That's who you are if you know Lord Jesus as your personal Lord and Savior. You are a child. You are adopted into the family. You're part of the gang. You're part of the family of God. Wow. Last week we talked about abiding. I want to talk today, we're going to go to Psalm 91 in a moment, but I want to talk a little bit about what it means to abide. It means to dwell, to settle down in, and that's why we're going to Psalm 91, to really hang out with the power of Almighty God. Jesus said that the Spirit, the Holy Spirit would come, and he would hang out with you. He would be with you and in you, okay? Abiding happens when we are so much in love with hanging around with God. Abiding. You cannot abide if you don't love God's presence. We had a mighty move of the Holy Spirit this morning at Beacon of Hope. I could barely stand up. It was the power of God. Betty, do you want to comment on how important it is that we love his presence?
Well, his presence gives us... It's so hard sometimes when you ask us to say things, because it's very hard to put into words.
It is,
how it
I know,
you
yeah.
Feel.
It does, yeah, it is.
And one of the things that I noticed even through Zoom is that it's almost like you're standing on holy ground.
Yes, yes.
Is that presence is so overpowering that it gives you a sense of peace.
Yes.
Peace unspeakable. It gives you joy. It basically gives you what you need. If you need a shelter, that the Holy Spirit will shelter you. He will give you exactly what you need. And it's just like listening and watching today, is that sometimes you can't see everybody, but we can see you. And it's just, you could see like this, I don't know, in the spirit, you can see it fall. And sometimes you can't see it when you're in the presence because you're so into the
right
of how it makes you feel. Some people don't feel anything, but when they walk in the building, they don't walk out the same because somehow they've been changed. They may have came in with a lot of anger, a lot of depression, maybe people who have came in and they were extremely exhausted from the day and the things that have troubled them. But they go out and they think, wow, I feel 100% better. I am so glad that I came into the house of the Lord today. And that's what the Holy Spirit does. He gives you exactly what you need when you need it.
He really does. And I guess what I'm trying, and you explained that very, very well. When we invite the Holy Spirit to do what he wants to do in a service or now even in a show, this is how we pray every week. Okay, Lord, you know your agenda. You know what you want to do. You know the people that will listen. We want to just be your vessels to contain your presence, and we want that to come out boldly, whether it's in a service or a show. That's our goal. That's my personal goal. Angel?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, it's about giving him the freedom to work and stepping us out of the way and stepping us aside in our agenda,
right,
or what we think it should look like, and just letting him flow. And I will tell you, the presence in our building is so strong that even in the counseling practice, like, people walk in, they're like, I don't know what it is about, but the peace, like, they just want to sit there even after their sessions. Like, the peace, they just, I mean,
I
so
it.
Many people will just go sit
in the sanctuary.
And they'll just sit for an hour, for half an hour, and just sit in the peace that's in that building. That's how strong the Spirit is.
Right. And it's not about emotions. It is about that sense of well-being and peace that settles down on the inside of us. And we have to trust that God is going to do that. When we start a service, Lord, I've already spent a lot of time during the week getting ready, preparing songs, getting everything ready, and listening to the Holy Spirit for what he wants to get done. And then it's a matter of walking through that and walking in faith that he's going to say the things that need to be said through us, or the songs or whatever. Abiding is all about a love for the presence of God. And I'm going to go back to you, Angel, on this question. What's the difference between rescue and abiding?
Oh, that's a good one.
It is, isn't it? Since you're the counselor. So,
yeah,
and then we'll get Betty's take on it.
Yeah, Betty, she likes to throw them at me too, huh? abiding is...
Oh, and by the way, there's never a script for these shows. We don't even know what songs we're going to do. Till we're sitting right here, and Lord begins to show me a song to do. It's nothing's planned. Just a general idea of where we're going. Go ahead.
It sure is. No, abiding is something we do. We submit to. We have the power. We choose to abide. I choose to put myself in the presence of God. I choose to make him a priority. I choose. And the more, you know, it's that falling in love, but it's something that I am making that effort. Mm-hmm. I am making that time to do. When we are rescued, somebody else has all the power of if they're going to rescue and when they're going to rescue and how that rescue will look like. And so that's the difference of where the power is. And so when I'm abiding, I am choosing to build that relationship
You're
with him.
You're choosing falling in love with Jesus. That old song, right? Mm-hmm. Falling in love with Jesus. And the, when we are in his presence, Betty, we love it. And people, you need to come experience it or get on Zoom with us, because being in his presence changes your attitudes. Talk, Betty.
Yes, it does. It gets rid of that thinking.
Yeah.
And I know we use that phrase a lot, but you're changed. The way you describe it is much greater than what I, because I have no vocabulary whatsoever. But it all boils down to is surrender.
Yeah.
Is to let. To be able to obey and know that when the Holy Spirit comes upon you or in the service, the Holy Spirit can visit you wherever you are. You don't have to walk Amen. Into a church building. He's there. He's everywhere. And it's so important to understand that when we do surrender and when we do obey, that we are giving our heart and everything that we have, we're giving it at the foot of the cross. We're Amen. Laying it down because so that he can come back and say, okay, we need to do some work. We need to, we talked about maybe it's the pruning, and we need to do some work here. And sometimes it hurts. It hurts to when you surrender and say, Lord, I can't do this anymore. I am so tired. I can't do this anymore. That's when the Holy Spirit, you feel this warmth, and I would call it a blanket of warmth that comes upon you, and you feel totally different.
Yeah.
It's just like walking into the church building. I've done it when I've been down there, is that you walk in and I get tingly. And not everybody does that, but I get tingly, and I call them Holy Spirit boost bump.
Sure.
Because you just, everybody experiences in a different way. And I love it. I thrive on it. I mean, it's just like, you know, just, I love Starbucks tea, but I love the Holy Spirit more. And I love.
That's saying a lot right there.
The presence of Almighty God.
And when you're in his presence, well, Angel, you saw me after church, and even as we were starting lunch, some of us went out. It was like, it was very hard for me to come back to that, like, normal banter, right? I know I did. I ended up doing that.
You did, but no, it does. It's like,
it's different, isn't it?
Yeah, it's an experience that's so hard to put words to, and it's one of those things, once you experience it, like, you can't get it enough. You want it more and more.
You want it more and more. And so the difference between really desiring to hang out in the presence of God and just desiring to be rescued, let's go back to that, Angel.
Sure.
Amplify on that, because that's where a lot of people want. They want God on their terms, and they want help me out of this. Help me out of this. Oh, I'm a mess. Help me now. Right.
I know. I think of that song, Jesus, Take the Wheel. You know,
right.
That's the whole,
yeah.
You know, I need to be rescued in this moment. And then they want to kind of push God back to the side
sure.
and go on
sure.
and keep going forward. And that's not how it works. It's relationship. And so when we're, you know, abiding. You know, I work with a lot of kids in counseling, and one of the biggest things I try to teach these kids are we become who we hang out with and
yes,
who we spend time
sure,
with. That
sure.
becomes our character. And so the more we are hanging out and spending time with him, with God, with the presence of God, we are becoming and being transformed into his character. When we're looking for a rescue, we have our pride and our selfish desires are so high that we think we know better than God.
Right.
You know, and so I can run my life, God. I just need you to help me with this issue, or I just need you to step in and do this one thing. That's not relationship.
That's not relationship. Psalm 91, verse 1, he who dwells, that is, abides, hangs out with. That word in the Hebrew means settle down in like a comfortable chair. He who dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall remain stable. Whoa. I'm in the Amplified Bible. You hang out with God, you know what? You're going to get more stable. You're going to get more stability in your life. And fixed under the shadow of the Almighty, whose power no foe can withstand. You hang out in the presence of God. You abide in the presence of God. And you just love being in his presence. And you are filling yourself with his presence, with worship, with praise, with the word, with good teaching in the word. What's going to happen? You are going to be stable. Stability really has something to say for it, doesn't it, Angel?
Absolutely. Absolutely. You know, and that's when we are stable, that's people really notice that when you're stable. A lot of times people, they ride the highs and the lows of life, you know, and they're, things are great, they're really great. And when things are not, they're really not. But that stability is, hey, things are going to be great and things are going to be not great, but I'm trusting in him, and it's letting him take that. And that, man, that speaks volumes.
That's why Moses, who wrote Psalm 91, probably, Moses says in verse 2, I will say of the Lord. Here's what I say. Now, a lot of people say of the Lord, I wish he would just rescue me from this mess right now. Where are you anyway, God? Moses said, I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge and my fortress. My God, on him I lean and rely on, and in him I confidently trust. We sang an old song today. We did Terry McCallum's version of it. I've been listening to it all week, and it just has blessed me so much, made me glad, because it refers to all that God says he is. I am your strength. I am your source. I am
your
refuge,
your shield,
your portion, all
your
of those
tower.
Things. Strong tower. Verse 3, for then, if you say those things about God, God, you're my refuge, my fortress, my God. I lean on you. I trust in you. I confidently trust in you. Then in verse 3 of Psalm 91, then he will deliver us from the snare of the fowler and from the deadly pestilence. He'll cover us with his wings. We'll find refuge. His truth and faithfulness are a shield and a buckler. And in verse 5, and then I want to get to you, Betty, on this. If you're doing that, you're hanging out in the presence of God. Verse 5, then you'll not be afraid of the terror of night, nor the arrow, the evil plots and slanders of the wicked that flies by day. Talk to us, Betty. That's when you're hanging out and trusting God.
Yes. Probably one of the most read scriptures in, you know, in the Bible, you know, during this COVID calamity is Psalm 91. You know, one of the things that really stuck out to me during all of this is that when Moses wrote this, Moses actually stood in the presence of Almighty God in the burning bush.
Yeah.
But he gives us an opportunity to rest under his under the Lord's shadow.
Yes.
Now, that in itself is power.
Yes.
It speaks security. It speaks to everyone that you have. That's where the comforter comes in.
Mm-hmm.
That's where he says he will watch over you. And how powerful that is, that we are protected just by his shadow.
Woo.
And how much more greater, I got them goosebumps here, is that you have that faith and trust in God. That you want, and it's just like when I come to Florida, is I want to spend more time with God because I'm freer. I'm freer to be able to be who I want to be.
Right.
And that's who God wants me to be, is because I feel peaceful there, especially in your new building. But I feel that same peace here now because I have made myself be, I want Jesus to be my bestest
Amen.
Friend.
Amen.
And by doing that, that's when he wants to be our friend, our closest friend, to talk and walk with us. But just, I mean, that just blew me away when all the prayers and stuff we had come in, that we could rest under the shadow of the Almighty.
Woo, amen. And verse 9 of Psalm 91, it's because you have made the Lord your refuge. Now, if he's just your rescuer, he's not your refuge. Angel?
Well, you know, a refuge is, you know, when he's rescuing someone is a single act. You know, a refuge is a continuous thing. It's something that we go to for safety. It's somewhere where we're protected, where, you know, that's our refuge, where his strength comes in to get through this, but it's there tomorrow and the next day. And so a lot of times, I think our culture, we buy into this quick fix, and that's where we get in this rescuing mentality. And I can't even put numbers to the amount of people who even walk through the counseling room who just want, you know, the magic pill, the quick fix, one session, give me all the answers, tell me what to do, and then I'll be fine. And that's not how it works. And that's not how it works with God. It's not how it works with anything. We're just programmed up by the lie that we want to be rescued. No, we don't. We want a refuge.
And I think this is where, and I was watching some teaching this week from Graham Cook, and I love him so much. What a great teacher and prophet. And he brought up this the difference between abiding and being rescued.
Okay.
And that's where that thought came from. I'll give him that credit because that's where it came from. And it caused me to start really meditating this week on how often in life we're stuck in rescue mode. We just want God to bail us out of the latest problem we've gotten ourselves into. Right?
Mm-hmm. Very much so.
And instead of, because we don't want to take the time, human nature doesn't want to, unless you are filled with the Holy Spirit and you want to be what God wants you to do, human nature says, I don't have time for God. Go ahead with that, Angel, and then we'll go to Betty on that thought.
Sure. I mean, because to put God first means I have to put myself out of the equation. And human nature means I want to believe I'm the most important. I'm, you know, I have it all. I know what's best. And, you know, put ourselves above God. That's not, you know, we have to submit to that every day. And putting God first means submitting to our human nature of wanting to be the most important. Our ego. We have to let that ego go and put God on the throne. And that is not a natural human thing we want to do.
That's exactly right. Betty, you want to comment on this, rescue versus abiding?
Yes. I want to take it to another level, if I may.
You may.
A lot of times, we want to be rescued out of fear.
Absolutely, that's what it is. Usually, yes, that is usually it.
It's fear, because we don't understand the complexity of maybe what we're going through. We just see the basic nuts and bolts. God knows exactly. He destined your pathway many, many, many years ago. So he knows. He knows what's going to happen. So he leaves us, he gives us a free will to say, okay, God, am I going to abide, or do I need to be rescued?
Right.
One of the things that we have to learn to do is to let faith replace that fear, because once we increase our faith, we go from a rescue mode. Now, you correct me if I'm wrong.
No, you're right.
We go from a rescue mode to an abiding mode.
Amen.
It may take some of us a little longer, because it may take that just the faith the size of a mustard seed to begin to understand what Psalm 91 is talking about, is to abide under the shadow of the Almighty, is that he will cover you. He will protect you. And that's, again, the Holy Spirit comes and will reveal himself to you once we become more abiding and get out of our comfort zone, don't let fear conquer you, is that you depend on the Lord, and He will show you, He will grow, and it's almost like a scale. Going from rescue to abiding is just like a scale, and you see yourself, it's a sliding scale.
Right.
And you see yourself just slowly moving over into the A zone instead of the R zone. And I mean, we've all been there. The three of us have all been there. We know what it's like. And and they're probably saying, you don't know what I'm going through. Step back, take a deep breath,
right,
and let God take control. Just like what Angel said, Jesus, you take the wheel. You ain't going to be my co-pilot anymore. You're going to be the pilot. I want you to take control of my life.
And praise God, this Chris Tomlin song, Resurrection Power, is going to cause you to see how you abide. How do you do it?
You called me from the grave by name. You called me out of all my shame. I see the old is passed away, the new has come. Now I have resurrection power living on the inside, Jesus. You have given us freedom. No longer bound by sin and darkness, living in the light of your goodness. You have given us freedom. Jesus, you
Oh, yes. Why does that freedom mean so much to us, Angel? And how does that translate into our daily living?
Oh, that's living in freedom, because everything in this world brings so much bondage, and it ties us down and it weighs us down, and it, you know, consumes our thoughts, and we worry and we're fearful and we're unsure. And but he, that is it. The Spirit of God, he's the freedom. He's loosed, you know, he's let those chains are broken. The cords are untied. We don't have to worry, because he holds the future in his hands, and he is our shield of protection. You know, he is our refuge. He is, he guides us. He will strengthen us. He empowers us, and we get through every day. Through
everything
that
we talked about this morning, right?
Mm-hmm.
Everything we talked about the power of God on the inside of our lives is possible. Talk to us, Betty.
Well, that song says that, yes, we have power. We have resurrection power. And that causes us to, those that realize what we have, is that that gives us the freedom to be able to say to that mountain, be moved, and it will move. Now, that's the type of power that we have available to us if we ask.
Oh, amen.
We have not, because we ask not, and it is available to us. And I mean, that song says it all. I have resurrection power.
Yes.
And,
living on the inside.
Living on the inside of us. Yes.
Woo! Well, back to Psalm 91. And if you are fixed under the shadow of the Almighty, you're hanging out with God, and you really understand his indwelling presence in you, you can say in verse 2 of Psalm 91, I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge and my fortress, my God. On him I lean and rely on, and I'm really confidently trust in him. Then he will deliver me from the snare of the fowler. Angel.
And that's just it. When we are putting
then
he delivers us. We don't run to him for that delivery. We run to him to build that relationship. We run to him
yes.
to know who he is and to have his power working on him. It's, you know, it's not transactional. Like, it's not, you know, oh, I'm coming to God so he can just help me. It's, I'm coming to God because I'm in love with him, and
ooh,
I want to
walk
with him.
I want to walk with him. Verse 4, then he covers you with his pinions, and under his wings shall you trust and find refuge. His truth and his faithfulness are a shield and a buckler. And verse 5, talking about this fear, you shall not be afraid of the terror of the night or of the arrow of the evil plots, the slanders of the wicked. In other words, when you are wholeheartedly in love with God and saying, God, I just want more of your presence in my life. When that's your attitude, then you're not going to be afraid of the terror. That's
exactly.
Crazy. You trust God. He lives on the inside of you. You're okay. You know? I know I talk about my grandkids a lot, because I love them so much, but there's almost, well, there are 14 of them, but one of them's still in utero. So these grandkids, when I'm around them, and I was a couple weeks ago in Indiana, and we were in my son's pool in the afternoon playing basketball, all kinds of stuff. And I look at them and I think, I don't know if I can talk about this without crying, how precious they are. And even though my marriage to their grandfather did not work out, I have them. I have my children. I have... And they are growing up, all of them, knowing God in their lives. And that's the best thing we can impart to those that come after us, or those that are in our church or our congregation, our sphere of influence, is the more filled we are with God, the more they want to be. Want to talk about that?
Yeah, absolutely.
Then we'll go to Betty on that. You understand what I'm trying to say?
Well, yeah, I do. Because the more they see that real, the authenticity, that comes from that relationship we have with him and the peace that we walk in and the love that we have. And,
right.
You know, it's contagious. People want it. They want to know what it is. And we model it for the, especially those that we walk so closely with, like our children and our grandchildren. And like, it does. You know, the Bible says, you know, raise up a child in the way he should go. When he's old, he won't depart from it.
Yeah.
You know, and they may take some side trails a little bit in life, but, you know, God's promises are yes and amen. And so he calls us when we have that relationship and we impart that into those who walk alongside
yes,
of us.
Yes, I mean, we do.
Even if, you know, a lot of times people are like, well, I don't know how to witness. I don't know all the scriptures. Just live.
His
presence.
We have that responsibility.
Right.
We have to. If I don't take my job as pastor, as whatever you want to call this, of the radio show, all of that stuff, if I don't take that, and you on Wednesday night when you teach, if we don't take those responsibilities serious and come and give it our best game, give it your best, okay? And the only way you're going to do that is by spending more time in the presence of Almighty God. That's the only way you're going to up your game, right?
Absolutely.
I don't mean that in a bad that term. Can you help me with that so that Betty doesn't think I'm talking baseball, which I am.
No, but that's where we become stronger spiritually.
Yes. Talk to us, Betty.
Well, one of the things when you're talking about your grandkids is that kids are imitators.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And it's so important that the Holy Spirit walk with the parents, with the grandparents,
yes,
with the great-grandparents, is that they can see is that you're a product of what Jesus has done and that your light shines so brightly that there is nothing, there's no basket or anything that you can put on it because you have set your face like flint and we have a race to win. And the race is to keep us focused,
yeah,
keep our eyes on him, let the Holy Spirit lead us and guide us so that our kids will see and our kids and grandkids will see just exactly what it means to be close and to be in the presence of Almighty God. And it's the neatest thing is, and I'm sure you did this with A and B when you were with them or even with Justin, is that praying together,
yeah,
or letting them see you sing praises to God and
yeah,
to not be afraid of the gospel of Jesus Christ,
right,
is that you speak it. If you live it, you're starting to speak it.
Right.
And that's what they listen to. They hear it. And then they start repeating it. And then they just think of the domino effect that it has, is that even if their parents aren't followers of Jesus Christ, they're seeing, where did you learn that? I learned that from Nana, or I learned that from Mimi.
Yeah.
Oh. And sometimes that change goes from rescue to abiding because,
yes,
of what,
yeah,
of what we're speaking with our mouth.
Amen. Look at verse 9 of Psalm 91. We're going to have to wrap this up. We got so much more to say, but we can't. Verse 9, because you have made the Lord your refuge and the Most High your dwelling place. Okay, people, if you hang out in the presence of Almighty God, then it's because you have that relationship. Verse 10, then there shall no evil befall you, nor any plague or calamity come near your tent. For he will give his angels charge over you to accompany and defend and preserve you in all your ways. They shall bear you up on their hands, lest you dash your foot against a stone. Relationship with the indwelling presence of Almighty God is vital to your health, your well-being, your mental stability, your memory, your ability to walk and talk. Angel?
Well, you know, our bodies are, we talked about this, our bodies are soul, spirit, and, you know, our physical body and our soul and our spirit, and we are interconnected as beings. And any time there's something going on in one of those systems, and it impacts all of those systems. And so, you know, right now, especially with COVID, mental health, emotional health has really taken a nosedive.
It has.
You know, depression, anxiety, hopelessness, like these things are living and active right now. But that impacts their physical health. We're seeing them getting sick more often, more headaches, more all kinds of stuff. And then spiritually, it starts to impact us. And so we have to stand against that. And when we are dwelling in his presence, not only are we're taking in the truth of his word, we're taking in his power, we're taking in what we're taking him in, but that is going to help improve our emotional, mental health, and yes. our physical well-being.
Yes.
Because it's all connected.
Before I do this song, Betty, a thought right there.
Well, you know, Angel, you are so right on, is that we have got to refocus. We have got to clear our minds. We've got to renew our minds more than just once on Sunday. It's got to be an everyday occurrence.
Amen.
So that we can let faith grow in us, and that we can see that by doing that, that we can step out outside that fear zone and into the zone of love, peace, and tranquility.
Praise God. And that's why we're going to do this song by Terry McCallum, "Oh, the Glory of Your Presence." Because people, if you don't have that kind of relationship with God, during this song, would you ask him to come and just live in you and dwell in you?
Yeah.
Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Thank you, God. Oh, thank you, Lord, for your presence. Thank you, God. Thank you, Lord. Oh, Lord, we just come before you right now and we say, we got to have more of you, Lord. We want more of your empowering presence. We want you to fill us to overflowing with your presence. We want you just to come and indwell us. We want you to be our shelter in the time of storm. We want you to be our refuge, our fortress, our strong tower. You've made us glad by your presence. Lord, if there's anybody out there in radio land right now that is not sure that if they died tonight, they'd be in your presence, let them accept you now. Let them invite you now to come and live on the inside of them. Let them say, yes, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God and that God raised Jesus from the dead. And I invite you, Jesus, to come live in my heart. If that is your prayer, do it. Tell him right now, because he wants to live in you and empower you to be more than you can be without him. He wants to take those things that drive you crazy about yourself and others, and he wants to replace them with his presence, his love, his joy, his peace, all that he is. So invite him in. He wants to live in you. Thank you, Lord. We pray for our listeners, whoever they are, wherever they are, you know. We just put them in your hands. In Jesus' name. Amen and amen, Betty.
Sometimes it's just hard to speak once you have that, when you feel the presence of Almighty God. It's a time of healing. It's a time to come to grips of what is in your heart. And it's time to say, okay, Lord, what I have is yours.
Yes.
Take it.
Yes.
And do with it what you want, mm-hmm. because I can't do it anymore. Mm-hmm. I need you.
Yes.
And that's probably the three words that people have a hard time saying, mm-hmm. is that, yeah. I need you. I need,
yes.
you, Lord.
Yes.
And if you can't even say those three words, all you have to say, yes. is the name Jesus.
Amen.
And he's right there. He's jolly on the spot to help you with what you're going through.
Amen. Ooh, Angel.
Wow. Oh, there's just nothing that compares to the sweet presence of
there isn't.
Being in his,
no.
presence. There's,
no.
nothing. The rest and the peace and, I don't know, there's just nothing, it's so indescribable, and it's so beautiful,
yes.
and, you know, once you've experienced it, like, you're going to want it more and, mm-hmm. more and more, because, right. there's nothing on this earth that can make you feel like you feel when you're in the presence of the Almighty.
And it's worth your time.
Oh, so much. So much worth your time.
And I've heard for years as a pastor, well, I don't have time to read my Bible. I don't have time to really worship God. And besides, I don't really know what to do. Comment on that.
You know what? My comment is, first of all, you can't afford not to, to develop that relationship, because, you know, that's the power and the strength and that gets us through every day. And so when it's like saying, oh, I don't have time to eat food. Oh, I'll just eat food next week.
Right.
We wouldn't live if we,
right.
were just doing that,
we,
right?
Wouldn't live,
like,
long, right.
That just sounds so foreign. Why? Because we have to have food and water every day. Well, the same thing with him. It's,
amen.
Like, we need him every day.
Yes.
And I could, you know, I mean, my life is busy. I mean, very, 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 very busy right now, and way more busy than it needs to be.
Mm-hmm.
But I couldn't imagine trying to get through a day without having my time with him. Like,
oh, amen.
Like that, you know, what's important to us is what we prioritize.
That's right.
And he needs to be that priority. That's when he's on the throne in your life, when he's the first thing you think about, that time with him, where I'm putting my time with God today in my schedule. Like, it goes in my schedule.
Right.
Because that's how much of a priority it is.
I need thee. Oh, I need thee. Every hour I need thee, Betty.
Well, one of the things the Lord has been dealing with me on is I just lost my scripture. Hold on just a minute. I know you brought it back. Thank you, Lord. John 4:14. But whoever drinks of the water that I will give him will never be thirsty again.
That's right.
The water that I will give him will become in him a spring of water welling up to eternal life.
Amen.
And that is the food that we're talking about. This is spiritual food. This is what we have to have. We have to have water to live, but we also need that living water is to fill us, to Amen. Give us the spiritual feeding and the calories that we need for a good spiritual walk with the Lord Jesus Christ.
Mm-hmm.
And I encourage you that if today that you have a request and you say, hey Betty, or hey Angel, or hey Pastor Marcia, I need prayer. I just feel it in my spirit. There's someone out there that needs prayer,
I
that
agree.
They're just afraid to ask. Is just send a request. Say, hey, please pray for me. Send it to prayers@bohmglobal.com.
Amen.
And we will take that request for you.
Amen.
To the throne of glory. And thank you. Thank you so much for that song by Terry McCallum, because that reaches so many people on so many levels. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Betty Thomas. We love you so much, our dear, dear friend and co-laborer in the ministry with Angel and me and the others, Pastor Jim and the whole gang. Thank you, Betty. So here's what God wants for you. He wants you to get to know him. He's got great, great surprises in the Word in store for you. He has things he wants you to learn. He wants to teach you. You're going to learn? Go to Psalm 91. Go to John 14. Listen to the show again. It should be up on podcast the next day or two here on TanTalkNetwork.com. I'm going to play that song some more here. This has been Dr. Angel Falzone, Betty Thomas from Michigan, me, Pastor Marcia McAllister, right here, Clearwater, Florida. God bless you. We'll be right here next week, same time, same station. Tell a friend and join us. God bless every one of you. Call him down as you sing it to him tonight.